The first reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So this gospel passage is it's one of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to his disciples, and this one kind of highlights, a well-known character in the New Testament, that disciple named Thomas. So I'd like to invite you to listen for God's word once again from John chapter 20, verses 19 down to 31. When it was evening on that day, first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. You retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand on his side, in his side, I will not believe." It was a week later. His disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. That's a lot, right? Have you ever missed an important event? I mean, maybe something in the life of your family, or even the church or a community, somewhere along the way. Probably all of us have had that experience of wishing we could go back and experience something that we missed. I remember one year in April, I was serving a large church down in Florida, and at the same time, my brothers and sisters were planning a big 80th birthday party for our mother in Pittsburgh, 1,000 miles away. But it was on the same day as Palm Sunday. And I just knew this is not going to work. This is just not going to happen. Everybody understood. But when they told me what a great party it was and how everybody was there, I began to regret missing it. The more I heard about it, the worse I felt. Have you ever missed a big event like that? If you can relate to that feeling at all, you can identify with this very human disciple of Jesus Christ named Thomas. Boy, you talk about missing a big event. He missed the first appearance, post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. He missed it. Thomas was not with the others when Jesus came to the others and appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Now, at first you wonder, okay, where was he? You know, why did he miss it? Well, let's not rush to judgment too fast about Thomas. Don't we all deal with grief in our own way? You know, that modern psychology tells us that, you know, there are many stages of grief, right? And each person goes through them in their own way and in their own time. Some crave the comfort of others, and some just want to be left alone. Well, for whatever reason, and wherever he was, Thomas was off by himself. The one that he had trusted had been horribly crucified. He was in despair, just like the others. But, you know, a great aspect of this story is that the disciples, even though Thomas was alone, they sought him out. They went to find him and tell him the good news. They told him all about how ecstatic it was and how he had missed it, of course. Can you sympathize with Thomas? You know, he wasn't there. And the more the disciples talked about it, probably the worse he felt. The disciples wanted him to experience it, but Thomas, through his experience of first missing it and then later having his own moment, really can teach us something, I think. I think there are maybe three good lessons that come out of Thomas's experience, this story of, you know, of doubt and faith. We all know Thomas has suffered and continues to suffer some pretty bad publicity, right, over the years. If you call someone a doubting Thomas, it's not a compliment. It's a negative term. I think it's time we rehabilitate his image a little bit now in 2026. Here's three ideas that also relate to us today. The first one is that you might say integrity is an indispensable part of faith. And what I mean by that is Thomas, if you look elsewhere in the Gospels, he had a kind of intellectual honesty, didn't he? A kind of credibility, because he wasn't just going to say he believed in order to go along with the crowd. He was honest with himself. I always have respect for people who are seeking answers and admit that maybe they have questions. You know, we like to call that by, I think, a modern term. We call it transparency now. But we can also call it something that is sorely lacking in our culture today, and that is the word integrity. As we live in a highly skeptical society, we need people with integrity who are honest with themselves, and even more importantly, honest and transparent with people around them. I wonder if any of us watched much of the moon adventure this week. I know I tuned in a little bit, but did you know that the Artemis II crew members named their Orion spacecraft Integrity? And they, all four of them, chose that name on purpose. And here's what they said about it. They said the name Integrity embodied the foundation of trust, respect, and candor and humility across the crew and the many engineers, technicians, scientists, planners, and dreamers required for the mission. So it gave that ship both an identity, a name that you could call it, but also a symbolic meaning for their mission. I wonder if they sensed that integrity is an essential core value that our culture is dearly in need of. So when it comes to our faith life, I think there are no bad questions if you ask them with integrity and honesty. Seeking and answering and asking is a part of faith. Remember, even Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. It's a part of our curiosity. If we love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right, we want to remember that mind is part of that equation. Integrity is an important part of our spiritual life. So Thomas saw the faith of his friends, but his question was a deep one. I mean, he had been with Jesus these 3 years, right? His question was, is the Jesus that I know the Christ of the Scriptures? It turns out he's asking the key question, one that many of us have asked. Consider the relevance of this story that John included in his gospel. Remember, John said, oh, there are many other things that I could have written that Jesus did with the disciples, but I wrote these so that you would believe. John seemed to know that we can trust God to ask questions, knowing that God is big enough for it. So that leads to the second point. Second point is, God takes our doubts seriously. Somewhere along the way, many, many years ago, we got the analogy that church ought to be like a factory. We're going to produce followers who all say and believe exactly the same thing at exactly the same time. But we know from our experience that everyone is unique and comes to faith in a different way at different life stages. And what's so refreshing about this gospel story is that Thomas was honest enough to raise his doubts, even with his best friends, the other disciples of Jesus. I mean, think about that. That took some courage when he said, unless I put my finger in the nail marks, I will not believe. And then we see that Jesus appears 8 days later. The very first words he spoke to Thomas were, here, put your hands in my side. I think Jesus did that for Thomas, knowing his doubts. What might he do for us? Perhaps the lesson is, don't keep these questions internalized and eating away at you. I mean, look what happened to Thomas. When he could be honest with God, he didn't even need to reach out and touch those marks. He simply exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Which is, by the way, one of the few places in the New Testament that Jesus is addressed by anyone with the term God. He had an amazing experience of faith emerge from his questioning, from his asking, his seeking, his knocking. Thomas got it right. We believe the great tenets of the Reformed faith, but we come to those after study and struggle and learning and experiencing God in our midst. So God takes our doubts seriously. And then the third point is like that. We work through these doubts by being a part of a community of faith. John 20, 24 says the risen Christ, you know, appears to the disciples, but Thomas is not there. But by verse 26, the risen Christ appears, and there he is. He's with them. There's no better way to learn and experience God than by being a part of a community of faith. You know, his first disciples, they didn't throw Thomas out for being a heretic or whatever. They kept close to him, and in that fellowship, he was able to grow, overcome his doubts, and confess Jesus as my Lord and my God. You know, many people have thought over the years that if they have questions or they're not certain, that they should stay away from church. They should avoid it. But it's really just the opposite, isn't it? It's a lifelong journey of learning, of questioning, of growing, of letting the Holy Spirit work within us. Caroline and I were watching a while ago that old Steve Martin movie called Parenthood. It's a funny movie. It's also painful sometimes if you're a parent. Remember, Jason Robards plays Steve Martin's dad in the movie, and a grandfather to his two children. So in the movie, the two children are just causing one heartache or disaster after another. And so Steve Martin's character goes to, you know, his dad for a chat. And he says, in effect, when will this be over? You know, when will it end? And the wise grandfather says something that we always take to heart. He said, you know, when you kids went off to college, your mother and I thought we had finished the job. You think that one day you'll cross the goal line and do the touchdown dance and spike the ball, but your job as parent is never finished. He said, the older the kids get, the bigger the problems are. You just learn to work through it as a family. We take that as an analogy to our faith life as well. Sometimes that's what our faith journey is like. You never think, well, now I've arrived. I've figured it all out. I understand it all. I know everything there is to know. Your faith journey and mine, as long as we live, is really never finished, but we walk together with the church, with the community of faith, with our friends. We seek understanding, we ask, we question, we seek, we knock. I have some respect for that disciple named Thomas. In questions, even doubts, are part of the dialogue of faith. I know the more I study, it's in that the mystery of life that emerges that my faith has really grown. But we work through all that in the context of the community of faith that we call the church. Because the community of faith is where you and I meet the risen Christ. That's an experience God doesn't want any of us to miss. May it be so. Thanks be to God.